Hallelujah. Praise God for that. Amen. I thank you for that word, my brother. That was very touching word. And the Lord lift you up and give you the spirit of wisdom and understanding so that you can know the deeper things of God. You see, God has opened your eyes and ears to see things that a normal person cannot see. And he has given you keys that are going to, you know, open doors for you, you know, in your entire walk in life. Praise God. Hallelujah. Welcome, sister. What's your name? Huh?
Eva.
Eva. Okay, I think I saw her face on the poster.
Yes.
Okay. How are you? God bless you. And I just want to welcome all of you. Praise God. Today's the first day. I have some friends who will be coming in tomorrow. Praise God. So you don't get discouraged. And in the field of ministry, when you work in ministry, you know there are many, many different paths you take. But one thing you have to understand, you always have to be faithful in the things of God. Praise God. Be faithful in the things of God, you never know. Jesus Christ met a lady at a well, just one woman at a well, and was willing to deliver the gospel to the woman at the well. You see, he was not somebody that was always after, you know. In fact, it is noted that the multitudes never hear the truth. You know that? The multitude never, I hope you understand what I'm saying. The multitudes never really get to hear and understand the truth. Because the multitudes, they pursue after a thing that Jesus Christ was not actually ordained to bring to this world. See, the average man on this earth will seek after what he will eat, what he will wear, and how he will secure his life on this earth. And that's all. See, but Jesus Christ says, no, this is not what I came to give you. I came to give you eternal life, the life of the Father God. It's a life that you can live right now. You can experience the beauty of the endless life that belongs to God. Praise God. Now, if Jesus Christ was so concerned about multitudes, he probably would have taken the whole multitude up with him when he went up to a mountain to transfigure. But you notice he took only three people, and only three out of the disciples. He took up that mountain to show them that glorious transfiguration when his body transformed, you know, into light. What they were actually seeing was the true eternal spiritual image of Christ. And I'm going to share, I'll start tomorrow on certain things on the Alpha and the Omega. You know the Alpha and the Omega in the book of Revelations? Yeah. Praise God. We're going to unravel the mystery in these messages. And we're going to see what it's all about. Praise God. God has given us precious things, powerful things. And we are supposed to live these things out. Praise God. Hallelujah. The Bible says that through the gospel, the Lord has brought to light. He has brought to our comprehension. He has brought something to our understanding, to our attention. He has brought immortality and life through the gospel. And the same Lord says, some of you standing here will not taste of death. Praise God. Now, this is the promise of the Lord, eternal life. It's we're talking about living, experiencing, laying a hold on the life of God right here on earth. It's something that is real, and the Lord over the years has taken me through countless experiences. And I tell you, it's real. Praise God. Even as we are here today, we are encompassed with innumerable company of saints, angels, ministers. You know that? If your eyes are open, you will discover that we are not alone. Praise God. I've seen it over and over again. And I know this presence that accompanies our ministry. Praise God. As we are here today, we have multitudes with us, invisible hosts, angels, ministers, also listening to these words. They all want to struggle. They want to hear these words. I remember some years ago in Africa, I'm in Europe. Some years in my original native country, Nigeria, I met a family and I was to preach the gospel to the family there. And as I opened my mouth to speak, you know, in the neighborhood, I don't know whether you have that in Kenya, in the neighborhood, you had these chickens, stray chickens, that stroll around, you know. So when I started preaching, these chickens came around from all over the neighborhood, plenty, and they came to the windows, you know, outside the windows. They all flew away, and they were all watching me as I was preaching. And the people in the house were terrified. They said, "What is happening? They've never seen this. What is happening?" And I interpreted what the Lord was trying to show them, that they should listen. And even the beasts of the field want to hear these precious words of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. We have to exercise ourselves to listen. Praise God. Because I must confess to you, I have to tell you, the Lord has committed truth into my hand, and I've seen great things with the Lord. Paul says that he had an experience where he was caught up into the third heavens. Paul said, "I was caught up into the third heavens, and I saw the paradise of God." I've also had that experience personally. And what I preach to you, I testify. I don't preach, I don't promote man, I don't promote a system, but only my reward is just to hand over to people what the Lord has what given to me. Praise God. That's where my reward is. Hallelujah. So, the gospel has brought to light something that is very important. I want to share something with you. Now, don't they have crayons or something? Okay. Oh. Well, okay. I just hope. Well, I just get something. Normally, I thought they would have the pens and all that. But it's all right. We wait. So, I wanted to show you something there. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Just be patient. You know, we're putting one or two things together. This is the first day. Hallelujah. Praise God. While the pen comes, I want us to stand up one moment. Can we all stand up? Let us do some spiritual exercise together. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, we bless you. We glorify your name. We exalt your name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you for this day, because this is the day that the Lord has made. Hallelujah. Praise God. We pray for a flow, a smooth flow, the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Let your people come to the full understanding of this gift that surpasses knowledge. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let them come to this understanding of what this gift that surpasses knowledge. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord, because it is done in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Amen. We may be seated. Thank God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to share focus today on some of very basic foundational truths of the gospel. Something that Jesus Christ actually came to reveal to humanity. Because the Bible says that in Adam, all men died. Do you know Adam? You heard of Adam and Eve? You know Adam and Eve is a parable of you and I? Praise God. Adam and Eve is not just history. Rather, it is a parable of what? Of you and I. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you very much. Hope people can see from here. Okay. I won't be writing too much, but... Will it? Not stable, is it? Okay. Yes. Okay. It's better than it is. Okay. Okay. Sorry for that interruption. Praise God. The Bible says that in Adam, all men what? Died. We're talking of here of a spiritual death. You know what it means to die? A spiritual death. In Adam, all men died, but in Christ, all men shall be what? Made alive. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to show you certain passage. There is a door that Jesus Christ came to reveal to humanity. A door into a new world, which we call God's kingdom. Hallelujah. God's kingdom. Praise God. What do you think God's kingdom is all about? Is God's kingdom somewhere in the sky that you go to when you die? Praise God. Is God's kingdom something that will come after what people call Armageddon? Is God's kingdom something that will come when, you know, the trumpet sounds and people are flying away into heaven in what people call the rapture? Is that what the Bible teaches us? Definitely Jesus Christ did not bring that kind of gospel to this world. The scribes and the Pharisees asked Jesus plainly, this kingdom of God that you preach, how will it come about? And do you know the response of Jesus? The kingdom of God is where? What is the kingdom of God? Huh? It's within you individually. Praise God. That kingdom of God that you seek is what? It's within you. Now, these are the same scribes and Pharisees that killed Jesus eventually. But Jesus Christ told them that kingdom of God that you seek is where? It's within you. And that response of Jesus has been widely overlooked by men to this very day. Because men are still thinking of, still talk of another kind of kingdom somewhere in the sky. See, people are making reservations for gold mansions in the sky. You know how you make a booking for your hotel room? Some people are making reservations for gold, you know, rooms in the sky. So that when they die, probably they go before a seat, you know, and a big man is sitting on the seat, and the big man will open a book, and he will say, yeah, well, while you are on earth, you did this, you are a good person, you go to heaven. And the man on the seat will look and say, you are a bad man, you go to hell. See, but these are concepts that have actually originated from the knowledge of good and evil. From the wrong tree. This is the tree that man has, you know, been feeding on from the day Adam transgressed. Man has been feeding on a type of wisdom that is actually false, a wisdom that is terrestrial, a wisdom that does not actually originate from God. Praise God. And this wisdom has hidden the reality of who we truly are as men. Do you know, as men, we don't know who we are? Do you know that? As a man upon the earth, you don't really know who you are. You know that thick darkness that was in Genesis chapter 1, when the Bible says, let there be light, and there was light. The Bible says, first of all, there was a darkness over the face of the earth. Then suddenly God said, let there be light. Do you know what that darkness represents? It represents the ignorance in the heart of man. Thick ignorance, praise God. Thick ignorance as to what your true identity is. Now, some of us are born in this world. Some say, okay, I'm a male, I'm female, I'm black, I'm white. You know, somebody will say it's Maasai, somebody will say it's, what are the major tribes in Kenya? So somebody says it's from this part, the other one says it's from this part. And you know, all these divisions are actually a formation of that, how do I put it, wisdom, that carnal wisdom that men feed on in this world. But Jesus Christ has come saying that I am the truth. He has now come to lead us back to that true creation, that true identity that God generated man in the beginning. Can God make a mistake? Can God make a mistake? Of course not. So God today is demonstrating to us a door. Praise God. A door. Hallelujah. And this door is a door into God's kingdom, God's realm. Hallelujah. God's world. Hallelujah. And this door, God has used allegories throughout the Bible to demonstrate this door. If you look at the book of Noah, remember Noah? I have a book there on Noah. The Bible says that a time came when Noah constructed the ark. God told Noah to enter into the door, and God himself closed that door. Praise God. So that anybody who had entered into that ark at that time, into that, through that door, was what? Was saved. But those who did not enter into that door, into the ark, were all what? Destroyed. Praise God. The voice of the Spirit in the days of Noah is that the end of all flesh has come before me. Brethren, those things are prophetic, because Jesus Christ says, as it was in the days of what? Of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Praise God. Now, the coming of the Son of Man, these are things that I advise people to attend the conferences to the end, because I'm going to explain what the coming of Christ means. Praise God, you have to know the truth. If you know the truth, what will happen? The truth will what? Set you free. See, the devil doesn't want you to know the truth. See, the devil, you know, appears also in a white garment. You know, he appears on pulpits with suits. He too says he's a pastor. The devil also appears as an angel of light. And the devil also gives his own type of, you know, gospel, deceiving people as to what the hope of their calling is. Praise God. God wants you to come to the knowledge of the what? Of the truth, and be saved therein. Praise God. And the truth is something that's original, because man to this very day has been deceived. God told Adam, who told you you are what? You are naked. You see, Adam was deceived. When Adam said, I'm naked, it meant that I am unworthy. I'm a sinner. See, it meant that he was incomplete. It meant that he was not like God. You see, and that guilt is what follows man to this very, very day. That guilt is what has enveloped man. Man has been defiled in the conscience, so that man does not have that access to God anymore. If you look at the genealogy of Adam, you know Adam was the son of God. You go back and read your Bible very well. Adam was what? The son of God. But somewhere along the line, Adam lost that knowledge, because he was what? Deceived. It is the wisdom of this world. And the wisdom of this world is very much today in the systems of religion. The systems of religion. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But God today is demonstrating to us a door. And do you know what that door is? Jesus Christ says what? I am the door. Jesus Christ says what? I am the door. Praise God. Now that Jesus Christ that says I am the door, you have to understand this kind of language. These are prophetic languages. What does it mean, I am the door? Do you know that there is a Christ in you? Do you know that? Do you know that there is a Christ in you? Have you heard of the Christ in you? The Christ in you, what? The hope of what? Of glory? Did Paul write to you that the hope of your glory is somebody in the sky? Hallelujah. Did Paul write to you that your hope is somewhere in Jerusalem? Paul wrote plainly that the Christ in you is what? The hope of your what? Of your glory. When he says Christ in you, the hope of glory, it means Christ in you, the hope of your liberation. Christ in you, the hope of your salvation. Christ in you, the opening to God's world, God's kingdom. Everything that the gospel, the good tidings, has come to do is to reveal the mystery of Christ in you. Do you know why we call it a mystery? Because men are forgotten. We call it a mystery because men have become ignorant of these basic truths. Praise God. Many people who walk this earth without ever discovering who they are. You think they are just a miserable sinner? You think that you are just a miserable, how do I put it, poverty, or how do I call it, a beggar, always begging God for something? God wants you to know who you truly are. Praise God. And your true personality, your true identity has been hidden all along underneath this tabernacle of clay. This clay, this vessel here. Praise God. Hallelujah. It has all been hidden from mankind. The prince of this world, Satan, which actually is the spirit that works in the mind of men, has blinded the eyes of the understanding of men so they do not know the riches of the glory of the Christ in them. That's why we live as beggars. We live as poverty conscious people, always begging, asking God for favors and not knowing that we are actually children of God. Praise God. The Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Christ in you is the door to a new world. Hallelujah. Praise God. Even Lot, if you read the story of Lot, there was a door that the angels, two angels led Lot. Praise God. They led Lot and the wife through that door and told them to go to the high mountains. The other people in the city were all what? Destroyed. Can you hear that voice today? Can you hear the invitation today to come up to the high mountains? Praise God. Hallelujah. That door that Lot passed through and that door that Noah passed through is the Christ in you. It's your true, righteous, celestial self. Hallelujah. The time has come to begin to awaken to the voice of truth. Hallelujah. The Bible says that the hour comes when those who are in their graves will hear what? Will hear the voice of God, the voice of the Son of Man, and they will awaken to life. Do you know what that grave is today? Praise God, everybody is quiet. The time comes when those who are in their graves will hear the voice of the Christ and they will awake from the dead. Who is this? What is this grave? Is it talking about the cemeteries out there? Do you have a cemetery in Nairobi? Okay. Is the Bible talking about the cemeteries out there? Which cemetery is it talking about? Which grave is it talking about? This is the grave. See, the Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, all men what? all men died in what? In Christ. The fact that you see somebody walking down the street with a body does not mean that he's alive in the eyes of God. Do you know that? Do you know when Adam took up the fruit in the garden, do you know he died? But Adam went on to live for another almost 1,000 years. But from the moment he transgressed, Adam was what? He was dead. When you are dead, do you know who you are? Is there any knowledge? Read the psalmist properly. The psalmist say, in the grave, there is no knowledge. In the grave, there is what? No understanding. Who will praise you in the grave? Hallelujah. This is the state of humanity today. Hallelujah. But thank God for the trumpet. Thank God for the voice of truth that we're hearing today. That voice is bringing an awakening to those who can listen. You see, people think that the gospel is all about demonstration. Eh? See, let me tell you something. Jesus Christ said, mind how you hear. These were the words of Jesus. It's your hearing. Are you listening? It's your ability to hear what the Spirit is saying that will grant you entrance into life. It's not by demonstration. It's not by big concepts. It's not by doing mighty works as men. It's not about organized religion. How you can clap, how you can sing. See it? It's not about whether you drink beer or you don't drink beer. It's not about that. It's how you can hear and embrace truth in this hour. Praise God. Can we be still for a moment and hear what God is saying? I preach to many, many people all over the world. Hallelujah. And I've discovered one thing. That the people that actually listen, their hands feel, they are dispersed all over the world. From all over the world in corners. Rarely can you gather them into one hall. Very difficult. I've been to churches, pastors have invited me, and when I preach there, they are shocked. They say they've never heard such things. Even some pastors had to come to meet me behind and told me they admitted to me that they are shocked. They've never heard this kind of thing. And these are pastors with big churches, big names. And the multitudes go after them because of false promises and all that. Hallelujah. When Jesus Christ spoke the truth, what happened? What happened to the crowd? When Jesus Christ said, eat my flesh and drink my blood. When he told them, don't follow after earthly things, but rather seek that which is eternal. What happened to the crowd? They disappeared. There was a large crowd, but when it comes to spiritual things, nobody wants that. Everybody wants outward show and big things in this outer, what Jesus Christ calls, deceitfulness of riches. Praise God.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Is it wrong to be rich? No. But what I'm trying to say, seek ye first the thing that pertain to the Lord, and the other things will be added. Hallelujah. Praise God. God is giving us the possibility today to enter into paradise, to experience paradise, to realize again that which we had lost in the beginning, that which the thief and the robber has taken away from us, and it is now. Praise God. We have so many, many words today. People talk about prophecies. Something will happen. End of the world. 2012. In December, some people said the world will end. You know that? Some people are really serious. And I wrote a couple of articles and books, and I told people, look, you mark my word, all these things are just lies. Praise God. Hallelujah. It has got nothing to do. The end of this world is something that is more spiritual than you can ever think. These are concepts that we are going to share to tomorrow and next tomorrow. If people will come around, you're going to hear great truth. Hallelujah. Things that will cause your ears to tingle. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Shake the body, man. Let's stand up. Everybody's looking dull today. What's happening? Hallelujah. Say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Shake the body, man. Don't be dull. Amen.
Amen.
Cheer up. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Listen to the voice of the Spirit. Be grateful. Listen to the voice of the Spirit. Let these words you are going to hear today transform you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let it turn your life around. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Be strong and listen. Mind how you hear. Praise God.
Amen.
Here, in the book of Revelation chapter 1, John, the apostle, what? He heard a trumpet. The Bible says he heard a trumpet behind him. And when he heard that trumpet, he turned around to look at the trumpet. And his eyes was open to see a series of visions of the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Your beginning and your end is in that Alpha and the Omega. We're going to unravel the mystery of the Alpha and Omega. You begin to know who you are. You are glorious sons of God. You are sons of light. Hallelujah. The Bible says that the world is waiting for what? For the manifestation of what? Of the sons of God. Who do you think these sons of God are? It's you who have ears to hear. It's you who we are working to the reality of the endless life in you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. You may be seated. I'm just trying to tell you this so that people will shake up. Eh? Don't be dull. Hallelujah. I know some people have been to work. You've been working everything. Work, work, work. At times we have to get away from work. You know, the work and we work and we work. That money we get is only for a moment. You know you're going to leave it someday. We are having something today that cannot be taken away from us. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We're having the privilege to inherit substance. Praise God. Substance. Hallelujah. So we must be grateful. That's why I encourage people to be alert and listen. Pick up what they're going to hear today. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So Jesus Christ, through his coming, is there any good reader here? Any good reader? You are very good? Okay. The book of Ephesians chapter 4. Can you read from verse 4 to 6? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4 to 6. Now we are beginning our journey now into deeper things of God.
Praise.
Amen.
Ephesians 4 to 6.
Chapter 4, verse 4 to 6.
There is one way, one spirit, even as you are called in one hope, you are going. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all.
Let's pause. Amen. Let's pause there. Hallelujah. Now, the Bible says there are what? There's only one body. Are you listening?
Yes, yes.
But how many bodies do we see here? How many bodies do we see here today? If you want to reason with the carnal mind, don't you see more than one body here? I'm seeing this person, I'm seeing that person, I'm seeing this person, I'm seeing this person. You see it? So who is right? Is this what we just read right? Or what our imaginations tell us? Which one is right? The Bible says in the book of Genesis chapter 1, God created man. He didn't say God created man. God created what? Man in his what? Image and likeness. God did not create men. But God created only one man. And in that one man, God invested the totality of himself in that one man. That is the body of God. Paul in the book of Colossians says that the fullness, it has pleased him that the fullness of the Godhead dwell bodily in that man. And do you know who that man is? That is Christ. That man is what? It's Christ. That man is Christ. And let me tell you, Christ is not just Jesus. Are you listening?
Yes.
Christ is not just Jesus. Christ is not just a man with a long hair, blue eyes of Hebrew extract. That is not the Christ that God wants you to know. Are you listening? And that is the Christ, that's not the Christ that Jesus Christ came to preach. Jesus Christ never came to preach himself. That is why he told the people that before Abraham was, I am. Before Abraham, your father, was, I am. Before the mountains and the hill came forth, I am. Jesus Christ was speaking out of the consciousness of the Christ, the man who is from the beginning. Are you listening? In fact, a time came when the mother and the father and all of them came around to look for him. And he told them, the crowd, that look, who is my mother and my father? He turned to the disciples, those who do my will. These are my mother and father. We must begin to understand what Christ signifies. That man that God created in the beginning is Christ. That is the image and likeness of God. See, it is written in the books that he is the express image and the brightness of the glory of God. That is Christ. That is the man from the beginning. And in him was invested all dominion and all power. And he was the one to reign over everything, over all the works of the hands of God. Oh, Father, brethren, let us understand this mystery. Hallelujah. Pray to God to give you understanding of this great thing we're hearing today. Hallelujah. Kneel down as you go back tonight and say, God, if I don't understand what this man is saying, let me hear. Praise God.
Amen.
That one man that we call Christ is actually a many-membered body. And look at the body here. You see it? There's only one body, one spirit, one Lord, one Father, one God who is in us all. Are you listening? Look at him. He's in us all. Every man. He's in us all, through us all, above us all. God is what? All in all. But can you know this thing with your ordinary mind? You can't know this. When a man takes a knife to kill his brother, he does not know that he's killing himself. When you say you hate your brother, you don't know that it's yourself that you are offending. You don't know that there's only one body, because we have been carnalized, we become carnal creatures. We put on the mark, the nature of the beast, and we become natural, carnal, terrestrial creatures. And we began to identify each other after the external. See it? We began to become carnal and we fail to recognize the Lord's body. In the book of Corinthians chapter 15, it says many of you are having problems today because you are not recognizing the Lord's body. The Lord's body is not Christian. It's not Muslim. It's not Buddha. See, all those are names. You get a point? Of course, if I go somewhere, I'll write my name. I'm a Christian, just for self-identification and all that. But I want to tell you, God is above all that. See it? God is before any nameable name. Before the language Christian came, God is there. Before Hebrew came, God is there. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ never came here to form any religion. Rather, he came to reveal Christ. He came to reveal the body. The body is the church. The body of the Lord is the church, and the church is the body of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. You must understand this mystery. And when you begin to recognize this mystery, a new door is open to you into a world of bliss. Hallelujah. A world where there is peace, joy, harmony, and the all power you are provided by for everything in your life. Hallelujah. There is one body, one spirit, because the body is a spiritual body. Do you know that you are spirit? Do you know that you are spirit? Do you know that you are invisible? Or do you think that you are flesh and blood? Do you think you have a physical body? You are spirit. See, Jesus Christ made it clear that to enter the kingdom of God, that means to enter back into that experience that we lost in Adam, you must be born again. Now the born again thing he's talking about, he's saying that flesh is flesh and spirit is spirit. You must be born again, meaning that you must awaken back to your true spiritual identity. To be carnally minded is what? Is death. To be carnally minded is what? Is death. When you are carnally minded, then you begin to see Messiah. You begin to see Messiah, you begin to see, what they call it? Then you begin to see Nigerian, you begin to see American. In the eyes of God, those things don't exist. There's only one body. Praise God. That's why it is written in the book of Revelations. Can somebody read it for me? The book of Revelations chapter... I hope you're following me. You know, I've observed some of the Kenyans are very, very gentle people. They are very calm. If I'm in some other places, like Nigeria, they go, in one place, but here, everybody's calm. I'm going to... Praise God. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15.
Revelation 11, verse 15. I read. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord, and is Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you listening? The kingdoms of this world, amen, they have become what? The kingdoms of what? Of our Christ. Are you listening? This happens as the seventh trumpet sounds. Now, what is the seventh trumpet? I have a book here. I advise you to get a copy. The seven trumpets return to the Alpha and Omega. What is the trumpet? You know, some people still imagine that one day one big angel will come from heaven with a big trumpet. What are the names of your rivers in Kenya? Name two rivers, two big rivers. Eh?
Tanarifa
and another second biggest. Okay, so some people imagine that one big angel will come from heaven, will put one leg on that one of the rivers and another leg on another river, and he will blow a loud trumpet. But I want to tell you something, that the trumpet of God, look at it. This is the trumpet. Are you hearing the trumpet? It's your mouth. Your mouth is the trumpet of God. It's the avenger. It's the message. Hallelujah. It's the message. Are you listening? It's the message. See, when the seventh angel, the angel of God is a messenger. If you look at the original translation, the angel of God is a messenger. He's a pastor. He's a servant of God. And when he begins to sound the seventh trumpet, which is the message of perfection, is the gospel calling the children of God to awake from the dead. When they begin to hear this thing, what happens? The nations of the earth become, they're all gathered back into Christ. The book of Ephesians says that he has made his intention known to us, that we all be what? Gathered into Christ. One body, one spirit, one Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Can we now begin to exercise these things? Exercise ourselves in this mystery? To begin to exercise our minds, to begin to see the Lord's body, to begin to recognize the Lord in everybody you see. Can you start to exercise yourself in this thing right now? You know, Jesus Christ, when they were killing him, slapping him, killing him, spitting on him, you know what he said? Father, forgive them. for they don't know what they're doing. Meaning that their eyes are what? Are blinded. They don't recognize that it's one body. Hallelujah. When Jesus Christ talks about the separation of the sheep and the goat, you see it? He says that I was hungry, you did not feed me. I was naked, you did not clothe me. I was thirsty, you did not give me drink. Then he asked them, well, when did we meet you? We did not meet you. They says, well, the least you do unto these ones, the least you do unto these ones, you do unto me also. Praise God. When Paul was going around killing Christians, what did he hear the Lord tell him when he was arrested at Damascus? Why are you persecuting me? That is the body of the Lord. This is the mystery we are being gathered into right now. Hallelujah. This is the great mystery that we are one with each other. We are one body. Hallelujah. It's not something, it's divine. We are interconnected divinely. It's not something that is, you can walk out. It is the truth. Hallelujah. That is why I can walk into Nairobi. Hallelujah. And know that I have a brother here or sister there. Not everybody can do that. I can go anywhere. I've invited American pastor friends from America who never met me before, and they came. And they stayed in my house freely. Why? Because we are one body. You are one. We have to exercise ourselves in these things. When we begin to walk in this perfection, healing will come back to the body. See, you begin to see that the goods will flow equally in the body. Some people have these gifts. Some people are more prophets. Some have healing gifts. Some are rich. Everything will now begin to be distributed, and you have a happy, healthy body. Praise God. It's not about big names, big church. It's not about having church with a name and say, all those things, they don't exist in the eyes of God. Because the church is the body of God.
Yes.
The church has got nothing to do with a building or organization. Nothing. All those things are just our imaginations and men.
Yes.
Praise God. If you have a pastor, the pastor should guide the flock in the right direction. The pastor does not guide the flock to himself. The pastor does not guide the church to establish doctrines of religion. The pastor guides the church toward himself. I've met people that I minister to that grew up into maturity, and the Lord told me to get out of the way. He ordered me to leave them alone. Let them now walk on their own. Get your point. God told me, don't ever make the mistake to put them under you. Never. I had that experience several times. When they come up, you know, you still want to keep them under your wings. And God told me, don't do that. Let him go. I've had many of them like that. Hallelujah. And by grace of God, I had many people who have passed through my ministry all over the world. Hallelujah. It's a wonderful thing. And it can happen to you too as you exercise yourself to hear. See, if you begin to obey the Lord, you can find yourself tomorrow in America. You can find yourself, the wind can blow in strange ways. God is, his wisdom is beyond our understanding. God is great. Hallelujah. And that is your Father. See, God is not condemning anyone. God does not see any fault in anybody. See, God is not out to put anybody in fire. You know this kind of imaginations we have? That God will take somebody and put him in a fire, and he'll be there watching the person throughout eternity and laughing, I told you. You know, this is religion. See, this is religion that has given us a wrong impression of God. What will the fire? What will the fire of God do? The fire of God will only burn off the shaft. The fire of God will burn off every carnality in you. The fire of God will destroy, will dissolve anything in you that is not of God. That's what the fire of God does. I listen. The fire of God does not destroy the Christ in you. It rather dissolves the lie. Praise God.
Amen.
Anything that is not of God in you, the fire of God dissolves it. That is the parable of the wheat and the tares. See, the wheat is the Christ in you. The tares is the carnal nature, your flesh nature in you, your anger, your jealousy, all these things. When you begin to submit yourself to the truth, these things are what? Are dissolved. That is the end of the world. The end of the world comes when you have awoken to Christ in you. Because Christ says, I am not of this world. If you have discovered yourself who you are, you're not of this world.
Yes.
The world has ended. If you read the messages of Paul, Paul says that in his letter to the Corinthians, upon whom the edge of the world has come. The edge of the world comes in you that are working for truth. The world is ignorance of God. The world is ignorance of Christ. That's why Jesus Christ says the world has not known you. The world cannot know Christ. The world means ignorance of Christ. The world means alienation from the life of God. That is the world. Praise God, but we are now hearing truth, and God wants you to know who you are. That you are sons of God. The way Christ Jesus is the way you are. Don't look at your conditions, what you suffered as men in this world. Don't look at your failures as men. Don't look at your failures as a Christian. I've had many, many hard times as a Christian, temptation, bad moments where I felt that maybe it's over. But God told me, nothing. You can, the way you are is where you will be forever before me in love. Praise God. He has separated your sins from you as the east is from the west. You have to understand the mind of God. The mind of God is not the mind that goes after people to torment them or to worry. No. God wants you to come to the knowledge of the truth and be saved. Awaken to the reality that you are one with God. See, God in you, through you all. Praise God. Recognize this mystery and begin to know the Christ in you. Grow in the Christ in you. Let's carry on in Ephesians chapter 4. Are you there? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11.
Ephesians 4, verse 11. Read.
Yeah.
And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
Praise God. Now, I think, are you getting a clearer picture of what the gospel is all about? Amen? You have the various arms of the ministry, praise God, an apostle, you have apostles, amen? You have the prophets. You have what else?
Evangelists. Pastors, teachers.
Teachers.
Pastors.
And pastors, amen? Now, what is the work of these pastors, and what is their main purpose? Because this is the gift. These are the gifts that God has given to the church. You see, the gift of God is not just to make you a millionaire. You know, God is not like a jackpot. You know, when you go to a casino and you put the coin inside, I say, God, in the name of Jesus, then you put it. It doesn't work that way. Amen? Praise God. It doesn't work that way. God is higher than that. Hallelujah. Those are our carnal interpretations of the will of God. See, God, his intention is to gather every man. Praise God. To bring every man to the pinnacle of Zion. See, where you have the king, where the king dwells. See, this is the place where the perfect man of God dwells. The man, remember? You see what Paul says here? Unto a perfect man. Unto a perfect man. He's still talking about that same one man, which we call Christ. The work of the ministry is to lift every man up and gather every man into the unity of the faith. Unto the perfect man. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Which is Christ. That man that is perfect is not a man of the earth. He's not a carnal man. So when God said, let us create man in our image and likeness, is God a flesh and blood? Is God carnal? No. God is spirit. The perfect man of God is what? Is spirit. Because God, we are spirit. You see, we suffer many things today. We are limited today in time and space because we do not know our true identities, our true nature. We struggle with sin, we struggle with lust because we walk in mistaken identities. We don't know that we are spirit like our Father is spirit. That's why Jesus Christ says, be perfect as your Father is perfect. Your perfect is not about not drinking beer or whatever. Someone was arguing with me the other day that maybe the wine that Jesus Christ turned in the wedding had no alcohol in it. Will you go to a wedding without wine in it? With fruit juice? Have you heard of a wedding with fruit juice before? I don't know of this part of the world, but in my part where I come from, they don't do that. Wine has alcohol in it. You understand my point? So it's not about drinking beer, it's not about your conduct as a man. Rather, it's about awakening to your true spiritual identity. That is the perfection that God wants in you. He says flesh and blood cannot inherit God's kingdom. Praise God. Flesh and blood cannot inherit God's kingdom. That means as mortals, as ordinary men, carnal beings, creatures of the dust, we cannot inherit God's kingdom. There must be a rebirth and it starts off in the mind. I've shared something in the past on the metamorphosis of a butterfly. You see how a butterfly changes. The butterfly starts off, you know, like a worm on the earth. You see it? A worm, ugly, slow, weak worm. You see the caterpillar? Do you like caterpillars? They're very ugly. And they're very destructive. They destroy plantation and everything. Nobody likes caterpillars. So, but this caterpillar comes to a point where it stays still, it hangs on a tree or a branch, and now it begins to have what they call metamorphosis. That is a change. And this, you know, this worm now becomes like what? It changes into what? A butterfly. A colorful butterfly flying in the heavens. This is what happens to those who can listen to the voice of truth. These things are parables to be applied to us. Your salvation is to realize your true spirituality, to realize your true self. And that is the Christ in you. Hallelujah. In my image and in my likeness. Now we are seeing what the sin of Adam is. Adam lost his spirituality. You know what they call the serpent on the dust? The snake? The serpent. You know what the serpent represents? When you see something crawling on the dust, spiritually, symbolically, what do you think the Lord was trying to tell us? What is this serpent? Look at it here. It's the carnal mind. It's the terrestrial mind. The mind that feeds on vanity, on dust. The terrestrial mind. That is here. That's why Jesus Christ will call the scribes and the Pharisees brood of vipers. That means offspring of serpents. He called them that they are the children of snakes. See it. Adam received the mark of the beast. Do you know the first time the Bible mentions the beast? You know it's in the book of Genesis? The most subtle beast in the garden was the serpent. When Adam took of the fruit, Adam became a carnal being. Adam became carnal. That is the transgression of man. Adam did not keep himself in the image and likeness of God. Adam became a terrestrial being. He put on what? The mark of the beast. That's the mark of the serpent. The nature of the serpent. Devilish nature. Earthly nature. That's why you see wars today. Confusions in the world. Wickedness. Because men are walking in that terrestrial nature. Greed. Malice. Gluttony, all these things because of the carnal nature of a man. But there must be an awakening into spirituality. Hallelujah. Praise God. You must awake back into your spirituality. Hallelujah. Praise God. Are you guys following? Hope I'm not going too fast. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let us move on. We'll soon round up. What's the time now? 6 o'clock. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let me just quickly make some comments and we'll round off for now. Hallelujah. We'll continue tomorrow. Praise God. So I want to show you the salvation that the Lord has brought to us, how we can overcome the mark of the beast. You see this in the book of Revelations, how those who had the victory over the mark of the beast, they sang with a new song with harps. Praise God. We're going to show you the mystery, what God was trying to teach us. I'm going to share with you on the mystery of the Alpha and the Omega. I'm going to share with you deeper things on immortality and life and the present reality of God's kingdom. Praise God. How we can begin to live in relation to God's kingdom right now. Praise God. All these things are possible in Jesus' name. Praise God. Hallelujah. God wants us to know the truth. What you're going to hear in this conference are not things that you have heard. You hear everywhere. It's not everywhere you hear them. That's our point. Because these truths, they set people free. They grant you liberty. But not everybody wants you to be free. You know that? Not everybody wants you to be free. Some people want you to be subject to a system. But when you hear these truths, they set you free. After Jesus Christ finished his ministry, you know what he told them? I go to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. Jesus Christ had finished acting as God. He had now come to the reality that we are all brethren. Praise God. We are all one in Christ. One body, many members. Let us exercise ourselves in this mystery, brethren. Be strong in the strength of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want you to come tomorrow. Come around next tomorrow. Receive these things freely. Your life will never be the same. Praise God. With humility. Let us not say we know too much or we know everything. Let us open your ears to listen. And you have the Bible to consult and ask the Lord to teach you, to open your eyes to a whole new world. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Praise God. Can we pray? At the end of the meeting, I have some books there. Out there. You see, I have some books there. And when you go out there, there are three books. There's one on the Alpha and the Omega. Seven Trumpets. There's one on the Ascension into Life, which is the mysteries of Noah, deeper secrets of Noah. Noah is not just a storybook. The whole gospel is hidden in Noah. So the Lord led me to write that book. I have a book also on the Tabernacle of Moses. It's a book also that shows the mystery of the Christ in us. Hallelujah. Praise God. You cannot have a copy. If you want to leave a donation, you can always leave there. If you don't have money with you, you feel you don't have, you can always just take a free copy. You see it? Praise God. Praise God. So if you just support us in any way you can, God bless you as you do that. Hallelujah. We're going to pray now. And I want to believe God for anybody who has come here with a need today. Can you come up here, Nanny? Anybody who has come up here with a need today, praise God. Let the Lord meet your need in everything. Praise God. If you hunger for the word of God, the deep things of God. If you hunger to know God, like Paul says, that I may know him. We're not talking here about a religious knowledge. We're not talking here about, a God of mammon, which is riches. And we're talking about knowing the mystery of Christ. When he says that I may know him, it's about knowing my true self, knowing the Christ in me, realizing this great mystery of this man from paradise. Father, let me know him. Hallelujah. Let me discover this treasure of great, this pearl of great price that is within me. Praise God. There is a pearl of great price within us. This is a Christ in us. Father, let us discover it. Open our eyes. Strengthen us in the name of Jesus. I command the scales to fall off the eyes of the people. I command the ears to be unstopped so that they can hear the whisper of the Spirit in the name of Jesus. Let there be understanding. Let there be healing as understanding comes. Hallelujah. Draw people out to this ministry. Hallelujah. Can you come forward, brother? Hallelujah. Father, we bless you. We thank you for our brother Carrington. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. I pray you strengthen him. Hallelujah. Strengthen him in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Even as he has brought us over to Nairobi with a good will, I pray, oh God, that you will strengthen him financially. Amen. That you will strengthen him and show him the path to life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He has desire to serve you. He has desire to know your ways. Father, we pray, oh God, that you grant him his heart's desires.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. Any handicap you've had financially, we ask, oh Lord, that you will fill up this thing for him so that he can walk freely in the ministry.
Amen.
As he so desires, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Strengthen him in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Strengthen him in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, God, because it is done.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name. For let's be silent for one moment. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the mystery of Christ. Thank you for the word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, we pray we draw more people tomorrow. Praise God. To the fragrance of Christ. So that they can come and hear the saint of the Spirit. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Blessed be your name. Amen. Amen. Hold on, please.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
As we're concluding the prayer, the Lord showed me a sugarcane plantation. Already the sugarcane, they're already out. Very big, large piece of sugarcane plantation with the leaves. They're supposed to be harvested.
Harvested, amen.
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 That's what the Lord showed to me.
Amen. Do you believe that you are the ones being harvested into God's kingdom?
Yes.
Praise God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Yes.
And you are going to be sound taste sweet in the mouth of many people who will taste you, who will taste of your good fruit. Hallelujah. Father, we pray this work will be accomplished in your lives in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Can you come here, brother? Come. Father, we thank you. We bless you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, this is your son that you brought over here to this ministry. Hallelujah. Right from the days of his youth, praise God, you are going to pick him out of the crowd and you are going to consecrate him unto yourself to do your work. He's going to speak in a new tongue, a new language that people have not heard. Hallelujah. In the land, it's going to be like light in the land of Nairobi and in further lands in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, this thing that you have showed me, let it come to pass. Because you have opened his ears to hear and his eyes to see. He has seen eyes and ears and ears to see and understand the greater things of God. Father, this is done in Jesus. It is sealed in his life in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, because every other thing will follow in his life. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God has come upon you, my son. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.